Parityabhyachadisnyagriyam Parsada Parsadava Vivandyacha Iyesatada Distatum Bibradrupam Hiranmayam Paritya. Having circumambulated. Avicharya, having worshipped. Disnyagriyam, the transcendental airplane. Parasado, unto the two associates. Abhivandya, having offered obeisances. Cha, also. Iyesa, he attempted. Tad, that plane. Adistatum, to board. Vibrat, illuminating. Rupam, his form. Hiranmayam, golden. Translation. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and as illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental airplane. Purport: in the absolute world, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination in quality. Everything there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates, his paraphernalia, his airplane, and his abodes. For everything of Vishnu is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well. As a pure Vaishnava, he offered his respects to the associates and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka. Mayavadi philosophers cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved, even in different varieties. Their idea of oneness is that there is no variety. Therefore, they have become impersonalist. As Shishumara, Vishnu Loka, or Dhruva Loka are completely different from this material world, so a Vishnu temple within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in the temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In the temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are transcendental. The three modes, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, have no entrance into the temple. It is said, therefore, that to live in the forest is in a mode of goodness, to live in the city is in a mode of passion, and to live in a brothel, liquor shop, or slaughterhouse is in the mode of ignorance. But to live in the temple means to live in Vaikuntha Loka. Everything in the temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So here we find that Dhruva Maharaj fully displayed the mood of a resident of the spiritual world. Dhruva Maharaj was faultless. Dhruva Maharaj was purely dedicated in great devotion to the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And that is the mood of the spiritual sky. And that is the mood that Vaishnavas in practice, who are following the process of sadhana bhakti, or who are known as sadhakas, such Vaishnavas are trying to attain this mood. Such Vaishnavas are trying to purify the heart from anarthas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur defines anarthas as unwanted habits and misconceptions in terms of Siddhanta. So all unwanted habits and all misconceptions in terms of the understanding of the absolute truth had been removed from the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. At that point, Dhruva Maharaj was an eligible resident of the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual sky, no impurity in the heart can remain. One cannot become a resident of the spiritual world if one's heart is not 100% pure. The process of purification is not a mechanical process. The process of purification is a process which fully depends on the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, from the very first step upon this path of spiritual life, adho shraddha, first, some initial shraddha, from that very first moment, we are dealing with a descending process. And therefore we can understand that shraddha is also descending. It is identified as the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. Right. It is said because it is the effulgence of the Ladini Shakti. Because everything, all devotional service is identified as consisting of that transcendental energy, that pleasure potency of Krishna. Because only devotional service can give us and can give us satisfaction and can give Krishna satisfaction. Anything that is outside of that domain is abominable, is miserable, no matter how good it looks. That is the nature of the material energy. Appearance is sometimes absolutely amazing. But that is not surprising because the material energy is borrowing its features from the transcendental realm. Although here it is only a dim reflection, still nonetheless even the dim reflection is highly impressive. And therefore the material energy has this extraordinary attractive potency to bewilder the mind of the living being. Dhruva Maharaj now was no longer interested in all the in the desires related to the material body and mind. Dhruva Maharaj was now totally free from lust, greed, anger, envy, madness, illusion. All these various influences could not affect him. That is the transcendental platform. And it is at that stage that his body transformed. As he entered into the plane, his body became spiritual. And it became illuminating like molten gold. Very effulgent. The spiritual bodies are very bright and effulgent. Just like the Supreme Lord, whose body is very effulgent. And his very effulgence is Hiranmaya. That effulgence, that word Hiranmaya, is used also for the golden effulgence, which is emanating from the Supreme Lord. So that Supreme Lord, who is extreme, is unlimitedly effulgent, is lighting up the entire universe. Just as it is the Supreme Lord who is lending the energy to the sun god. And in turn, it is the sun god whose effulgence is lighting up the entire universe. The rays of the sun are not actually the rays of a planet. It is not a fact that the sun is a planet which is merely made of gases, substances, which then produce light and heat. But rather, Srila Prabhupada explains, it is the effulgence of the sun god himself that is lighting up the universe. So, in this way, effulgence is present in the body of the sun god, to such an extent, although the sun god is yet in a divine body, but not in a spiritual body. What to speak of the residents of the spiritual world? Their bodies are illuminated with spiritual effulgence. So nothing in this material world can ever compare to the spiritual world. And therefore, our preoccupation, our attachment to anything in this world is simply a waste of time. Srama eva hi kevalam. It is said that all material activities, including activities of Varna Ashram, if they are not performed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, then simply Srama eva hi kevalam. Or simply a waste of time. The Mayavadi philosophers are simply on the mental platform and not on the pure spiritual platform. The Mayavadis are speculating and are imposing ideas on reality. And their ideas are like blocking, they are like obstructing the full transcendental effulgence, the full transcendental features of the Lord. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pitam mukham. Please take away this effulgence and see behind the effulgence the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. This is the prayer of the Upadeshamrita. Isupanishad. So, in the Isupanishad, this point is made about the personal feature of the Supreme Lord being superior to the impersonal aspect. That is very important, because we must understand Isvara Paramakrishna Satsidananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam, that the supreme personal feature of the supreme personality of Godhead is the source of all energy. Then we are properly understanding. Avyaktam vyaktam apane manyante mama buddhiya. The unintelligent are thinking that my personal form has originated from the impersonal, but rather the aham sarvasya prabhu mata sarvam pravartate iti mata bhajantamam buddha bhava samanvita. Rather, I am the origin of everything, both material and spiritual, Krishna says. So this is the understanding that the original personal form of the Supreme Lord is the source of everything in this world. And this is ultimately to be understood. It's not enough to try and pacify the Lord. The Shaktas are simply interested in that aspect. They see the power of the Lord. There are Shaktas all over the world who are simply trying to pacify the destructive power and try to pacify that destructive feature to the point where the material energy begins to produce nice fruits. There are many shamans who are very expert in controlling negative powers and dangers and warding off all kinds of bad influences. There are many tantrics who are doing the very same thing in the name of Vedic culture. But the Vaishnavas are not interested, because the Vaishnavas are not trying to rely on their own power. They're not trying to build up the power to ward off the so-called unfavorable material circumstances. Because the Vaishnavas, they see there are no unfavorable circumstances. Whatever is happening is favorable. Because whatever is happening is the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and whatever is happening is simply for our purification. Therefore, there is no question of not accepting. The Vaishnava is accepting. Yes, you sent me misfortune, my Lord. Yes, thank you for your kind mercy. Or if the misfortune becomes even more intense, then in great struggle, somehow or other, the Vaishnava will continue to try and tolerate, knowing that somehow or other he must go through all whatever hardships come. Tatenu kampam susamiksamano punjane vatmikritam vipakam ridvak vapurbir yuvidadam namaste. This is the point that we must tolerate. We must tolerate the various onslaughts of the material energy. Somehow or other, they will come on their own accord. Dukavat anyavat sukam kalina sarvatra gabhira ramasa. The happiness and distress in this world are not depending on our work. They're not depending on our work. One cannot purchase happiness. One cannot purchase material success. Money one can attain, but what that money will bring, that is to be seen. That money will bring temporary happiness and temporary distress, without a doubt. That is the nature of money. So what is the point of money? Money is described as a great danger, actually. Because it is said that initially, the personality of Kali could not find any residence. Of course, that may raise the question where Kali was residing before. Huh? If Kali couldn't find any residence, we could think, where was Kali staying actually before? In the Vishnu Purana, Kali is referred to as the lowest of the celestials, who on one occasion went to Indra and requested him to give permission to test a certain king, and he obtained it. Then with the permission of Indra, even outside the Kali Yuga, he could manifest a little bit on earth and began his nefarious activities. Right? Otherwise, for Kali, there was simply no adhikar. That was the problem. He had not been granted the power. Therefore, what to do? But in this particular age, Kali has been given the domain of earth to reside. And now Kali, of course, came to Maharaj Parikshit and asked him where he could stay, and was told wherever illicit sex, gambling, meat eating and intoxication is going on, there you can stay. There was no such place in the kingdom of Maharaj Parikshit. Then you stay at a place where gold is being kept. So, in this way, money can be very dangerous. Unless that money is used for charitable purposes and spiritual purposes, one must give that. One must use for his own maintenance very frugally, simple, very fundamental. And then everything else for the Supreme Lord. says at least 50%. What to speak of more? Certainly more. So in this way, a Vaishnava is very careful in his dealings with the material world. The material energy is never underestimated at any point in time. A Vaishnava is not thinking that I am beyond the influence of the material energy. We're not seeing that. We're seeing that in our acharyas. We see a mood of lamentation, of being conditioned. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is writing a whole series of songs where he's saying that I have simply wasted my life in mundane pursuits, and now in my old age I don't find any pleasure anywhere. Basically not seeing himself as a transcendentalist. We see also Janiya Sunia Bisakainu. Knowingly I have drunk poison, Narottam Das Thakur says. In this way, wasted this human form of life. Manushya Janma Paya Radha Krishna Nabajai. This human form of life was available. I attained it. But I did not utilize it for the worship of Radha and Krishna. Janya Sunya Bisakaino. Knowingly, willingly, I drank poison. So isn't that our business? Knowingly, willingly, we drank poison. How many people are dying of an overdose? How many people are not dying of an overdose? Right? And taking an overdose anyway. All over the world, people are just intoxicated. Janya Sunya Bisakainu. Willingly taking poison. What to speak of so much other poison? The poison, not only the poison of intoxication, not only the poison of alcohol and drugs, but the poison of vikarma, the poison of destructive activity, the poison of getting deeply entangled in the material energy. Svalpam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. The greatest danger is to again take birth in this material world. The greatest danger. For what? For what? For wealth? For lust? For embracing a body of flesh and bones? For any type of material pleasure which is temporary and cannot satisfy, which is never enough? In the Padma Purana, there is a reference that even all the women in the world, all the gold in the world, all the animals in the world are not enough to satisfy one man. Can you just think about that for a moment? All the women in the world, all the gold in the world, all the animals in the world. In those days, they were using animals instead of cars. Now, even cars with horsepower count also. Not enough to satisfy one man in this world. Can we think about that for a moment? In the same way, all the men in this world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that there is no man in this world who can ever satisfy a woman. It is not possible. There is no such man. The man that can satisfy a woman has not been born. Because the only one who can ever satisfy any woman in this world is Krishna. No man. So, like this, we see the scriptures condemning mundane relationship. So all these understandings are required to become eligible to walk the straight path back to Godhead. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is offering a straight path. This straight path is, first of all, requiring that we give up all unwanted habits, that we give up all speculative theories. Just in the last few days, I have been looking a little bit at our recent Gaudiya history, and especially centered around Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, or sometimes also known as Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. So, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, of course, on the order of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even when he was of a young age, became involved in editing the magazine Sajjana Toshini. And then he became involved in 1927 in bringing out an English version of this magazine, a monthly magazine. And so there are a number of, this magazine was then known as The Harmonist, and there are a number of articles written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in this Harmonist. And now recently the Harmonist has been published in 8 books, right? And of course I couldn't resist and purchased them. And so I was just reading a little bit over this last period. And I specifically was focusing on articles of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and not so much on some of the other writers in the Harmonist, because Srila Prabhupada also pointed out that within the Harmonist there are some misconceptions in some of the articles, and therefore one cannot merely accept it as a 100% correct. But of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur are on the fully transcendental plane. And in fact, they are so important because they are establishing our sampradaya. So first of all, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was writing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was writing, he said, if the teachings of Lord Krishna would not have been misunderstood, there would have been no reason for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. And if the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not misunderstood and misquoted, then there would have been no need for the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is establishing that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us the original understanding. The original understanding of the teachings of Lord Krishna and of Lord Chaitanya, which are non-different. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada himself, is taking it upon himself to establish this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta very forcefully. in the midst of so much confusion. There was a particular class in Bengal, this is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion in the fifth chapter, who claimed themselves to come in the direct family lineage of Lord Nityananda, and who were known as the Nityananda Vamsa. And this class of men, they were claiming that they were the only rightful heirs to bhakti. And that only they could bestow bhakti upon anyone. So therefore, if anyone desired to receive bhakti, he had to take initiation from one in the Nityananda Vamsa. And they basically had the monopoly on the mercy of Mahaprabhu. That was their claim. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta defeated them. We know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had to deal with the smarter brahmanas and defeated them. And that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established that through the Pancharatrika Vidhi, even those of the most fallen births, but by the purificatory rituals of Pancharatrika Vidhi, and by the chanting of the holy name, the Bhagavad Vidhi, anyone of any birth and condition could become purified. And he established this very strongly. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had to deal with so much deviation. And he dealt with that very strongly in the Prakriti Sata Dusani. He dealt with Sahajism. And at his time, it is described that there was Charan Das Babaji. Charan Das Babaji, who at the end of his life had a dream. And in this dream, the mantra Nitai Gaur Radhesham Hare Krishna Hare Ram came to him. And he said, this is it. This is the mantra that is revealed to me. And his idea was that Nitai, that Lord Nityananda, was Radharani. So then his followers, the next generation of leadership there, was Ramdas, and he became a full-on Shakibeki, and he was full-on dressing in saris. It said he had a very big, powerful body, and he was chanting very loud and very energetically, and dressed up in saris. And I just saw also a video about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, also produced at this time, and there was some footage there of the Sakibekis in saris dancing. It was quite a sight, I must say, interesting footage to see. But we see that Sahajism, right, is not just something that was sprouting up in West Bengal. It was not merely something that covered the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time of our previous acharyas, but it is also something that is covering our Siddhanta today. It is like a cloud. These clouds of Sahajism from time to time appear at the bright blue sky of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And again, tend to temporarily, for a moment, cover the pure and clear effulgence of the bona fide Vaishnav Siddhanta. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had very strongly taken a position against all these kind of Sahajas and exposed them. He exposed the Atibaris. The Atibaris, they basically were uneducated, uncultured people, not from a Brahminical background, and therefore not conversant with scripture. And they were living more on folklore, and they had their own revelations and their own gurus who were referring to their own incarnations, and in this way they had various false incarnations and so on. So all these kind of groups, they mixed, and this mix became known as Vaishnavism. So we see that in Bengal at one point a great mix of all kinds of ideas became manifest. And all these ideas, they mixed with bona fide branches of the Chaitanya tree. There are many, many branches of the Chaitanya tree. But these upper sampradayas did not only exist within themselves in a separated form of the Chaitanya tree, but these upper sampradayas also mixed with some of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So one can imagine the confusion, one can imagine the misconceptions that somehow or other filtered through even into the Chaitanya tree. Therefore, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya became a very forceful Sampradaya, a Sampradaya to very strictly establish the bona fide conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And one of the points that was established very strongly by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that one should not in any way prematurely enter into Raslila. It is quite amazing how strongly he presented this and how he pointed out there is no need to reach out, but rather one should, by one's dasyam, by one's service attitude, attract the understanding of Ras from the higher realm. In other words, that the understanding will descend upon one and not the process of reaching out. Is very strongly established. I have not been contemplating this issue so much lately, but then as I was reading over the last few weeks, I could not avoid it. I was just reading it again and again from in different books. And as I was reading many books side by side that were all relating to the same topic, really, watching videos relating to the same topic, dealing with the position of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as the representative of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to establish in a very bona fide way the doctrine of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we understand that the straight path back to Godhead, the straight path of qualifying for the position that Dhruva Maharaj attained, is the straight path of service, of extraordinary service attitude. Basically service to all. Service to the Supreme Lord. Service to the Vaishnavas. Service to the conditioned souls, in somehow or other, spreading the mercy to them. We see that although the Madhyam Adhikari is avoiding Ishvara Tadadinesu, Maitri Bali Sesu Dvisat Sutta. Thank you. Bali Sesu Dvisat Sutta. So he is dealing with the those who are demoniac, and basically he's avoiding them, it is stated. But we see that Prahlad Maharaj was still interested in the destination of his father. Prahlad Maharaj was concerned with the destination of Hiranyakasipu. So a Vaishnava is paradukaduki. A Vaishnava is concerned with the position of the suffering, conditioned souls, even those who are demoniac, even those who are envious. He can see beyond that envy. He can see Iccha Dvesa Samutena Dvandamahena Bharata. It is simply the delusion. It is the delusion, lust and envy, that is covering the pure soul, and somehow or another this covering can be removed. In this way, Vaishnava means to become servant. Servant of the Supreme Lord. Servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. Servant of all living beings on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Just as we are signing our letters, yours, in service to Srila Prabhupada, yours in service to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, because in this way we can be the servant of all living beings. And that is actually the mission in life. It's not enough to be a nice devotee. It's not enough to be a member of ISKCON. It's not enough to just be initiated and chant our rounds. It's not enough. We have to become the well-wisher of all living beings. That is what is required. We have to somehow or other take up this welfare work. Now, there are various ways in doing that. Some may do it in the front lines, like Srila Prabhupada, in a very powerful way. Some may do it in a different way. They may not become world preachers, but they may become very faithful to the Siddhanta. And they may very faithfully transmit this Siddhanta in their teachings. And although they may not reach such a large audience, the quality of their work is a valuable contribution. So whatever may be, but we must do something. We cannot just be satisfied. We must do something more than live our own life. We must do something for the welfare of the world. In the Vedic literature, it has already this kind of welfare mood, right? Because the mendicants go door to door. The renunciants go door to door to beg, but they really go to give spiritual knowledge. The brahmanas go door to door to beg, and they give spiritual knowledge. The brahmacharis, they take alms and donations and offer those alms to guru, and in that way one also gets spiritual benefit. So the renunciants of different classes who are begging door to door are benedicting the Vedic society. And the householders are meant to call out three times. Is anybody hungry? Is anybody hungry? Is anybody hungry? And whoever comes, they are meant to give them whatever they've cooked and wholeheartedly, happily feed them. And even if they fast, they'll happily do so. This is Vedic culture. So Vedic culture already has this spirit of being the well-wisher of all. But yet, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya goes much further, much further. And therefore everyone has to partake in it, into somehow or other giving out the mercy of Mahaprabhu in some way or other. The householders must open their house for Harinam Sankirtan. When house is not open to Harinam Sankirtan, that is inauspicious. That is the purpose of the house. The house is not a playground. The house is not there as a zoo to keep some varieties of children, right, on display for people to see and come and watch the monkeys, right? The house is for another purpose, right? The house is simply offering a good facility for Harinam Sankirtan. That is the purpose. So, in this spirit, we must carry on somehow or other this movement and make our priority to be the well-wisher of the entire world. Then, if we are very carefully and strictly remaining a humble servant, and always bow down, manmana bhava matpattu, then we can become eligible to return back to the spiritual world. We must be careful to not become proud. We must recall the narration of the brahmana and the cobbler. And the brahmana had to wait longer than the cobbler for going back to Godhead, due to his pride. So pride is a great disqualification. So, the result of our learning should be that we realize that our learning is not great, our capacity is not great, our capacity is diminished. The result of our learning should be that we realize that we are very much dependent on the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is our saving grace. In this way, in a humble mood, in a very careful mood, we are chanting the holy name, and we are absorbed in Srinivata Swakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtanam, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that way, we try to live a pure life, dedicated to distributing the mercy of the Lord. Then, we become eligible in this age to go back to Godhead, not in the same way as Dhruva Maharaj went, but in a different way, by the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, I think I will become guilty of information overload if I carry on. Maybe it was already information overload. Anyway, I'll stop. Any question? Any comments? Not necessarily so, no. We see that it is not necessary that every living being is traveling in these planes, in these Puspa Vimanas. We see that these descriptions are especially given for those who are going to the Vaikuntha Lokas. We see a description of Prithu Maharaj, we see a description of Dhruva Maharaj. But for example, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, right, is not describing such things. It is basically not describing a physical journey for Gopakumar. Gopakumar is simply being transferred. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I also read in the last few days, made an important point. And he pointed out that there are some of our, he pointed out our major acharyas, and he pointed out that therefore some of the literatures of our major acharyas are giving us a very important contribution. Like he pointed out that Brihat Bhagavatamrita is very essential in terms of Siddhanta. So it must not be just taken as another work of the acharyas, but must be taken as like very prominent in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita must be taken as very prominent in our Vaishnav Siddhanta. And he mentioned some other works, but unfortunately I just don't remember the list. I can sort of, we can fill it in ourselves, you know, the obvious works, but just now, his little list, these two I remember. So, Brihat Bhagavatamrita is an important book because it gives a lot of information about the mechanics of the workings on higher planetary systems, of the workings of the transfer between the spiritual and the material worlds. And it does not necessarily indicate that such a plane is a must. So at times there is a plane, at times there's not. So in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we will be transferred, and not through some physical journey. That may be that we'll take birth in some universe along with the gopis and Krishna and so on, and one birth in Krishna Lila. That may be, right? Maybe. There's reference to that. Srila Prabhupada gave reference to that, but also not as necessarily that this is always a necessity. Because it's not a mechanical process. It's depending on the mercy. And if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desires to make another arrangement, a direct arrangement, to go direct from this lifetime to the spiritual world through being transferred, then so be it. And so it will take place. So it's not that every living being will go in a Vaikuntha plane as Dhruva Maharaj did. It befits the mood of Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha Lokas, a mood of great opulence. You know, it's like the Lord is in Vaikuntha so opulent, you know, everyone just, here's your plane. Yeah, that's a good question. I have not read anything about it. The plane is definitely showing all kinds of symptoms that remind us of living beings, right? The plane is flying on its own, it needs no fuel, it can go anywhere, everywhere, but it is not clear whether it is just the direct energy of the Supreme Lord, or if it is a living being. It wouldn't be dead matter. Dead matter is something It's not the choice, would it be a living being or dead matter? That's the choice in the material world. In the spiritual world, would it be somehow or other resting directly on the Sandini potency of the Lord? Right? Would it be just as Lord Balaram is supposedly to be Vrindavan? Right? It's Balaram. So then we understand that there are things manifest in the spiritual sky which are directly the Lord, Lord Balaram, and which are not living beings. Because that brings up the whole old question that has come up so many times, whether everything in the spiritual world is alive and is a living being and so on. But we see that not necessarily so. So therefore the question would be, would this Vaikuntha plane be a living entity, or would it be a direct manifestation of the energy of the Lord? And that, the question I can raise, the answer I don't know.
Krishna decided that one point to relish love for himself.
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya is eternally. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? You want a question? Or? Okay. Yeah. Simply Leela. Simply. The Lord, for the sake of Ras, we find this description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? It is there that Yadav Kumar Krishna desired to actually taste that particular ras, and that it coincided with the mood of, for long I have not bestowed love of God on the people and then in general, and then he took that form of Lord Chaitanya. It is mentioned in the CC. So although Lord Chaitanya is existing eternally in the spiritual world, although Lord Krishna is existing in the spiritual sky, still from time to time he comes here to experience it here and develops this desire again. I guess it's not the first time. It's a cycle, like everything is a cycle. Well, it must be. But the Lord had the desire for this particular taste.
I think Bhakti Karnavilas, what's the name?
Hari Bhakti Vilas.
There is an explanation about this. I remember it because it's very impressive. Beginning by the first page. Exactly that.
I don't remember it. I've never seen anything like that in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But.
There is how it is that it's eternally present, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna.
You can bring it.
Okay. I hope it's the book is here next tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
I got down one quote from the Chaitanya Mangala. I would like to ask you to please explain it. This said that generally in Vapara Yuga, the avatar is the dark lord Krishna and bears the name Krishna, but he is only a plenary portion of Krishna.
Yeah. Well, there is a reference to that avatar. Sometimes he's referred to as a Vishnu form. Here he is even having the name Krishna, but not being actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the origin of all other incarnations, Govindam Adi Purusham. That is a fact, because Krishna himself, Govindam Adi Purusham, appears only once in a day of Brahma, and in a day of Brahma there are 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. So therefore, there are still all these other cycles, all these other yugas in which the incarnation is appearing. Some yuga avatar is appearing, and yet not Krishna. So we understand that it is a Vishnu incarnation who then appears. In the same way, we also understand that there is some sort of incarnation that appears in every Kali Yuga. Right? There is. Who also is teaching some sort of Sankirtan, Yajna, but it is not to the same extent invested with mercy as in the case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is a bit vague, because we only find here and there some mention, like you found one in Chaitanya Mangal, and here and there we find something. Vishnu Purana is also giving some description about this. About this particular incarnation, but refers to him as a Vishnu avatar, as a form of Vishnu, who appears in these yugas. But I have never seen like long, elaborate descriptions, short mention here and there, no full description of like a life, what that incarnation exactly did or that. So my information stops here.
Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the spiritual, is he worshipped as a god with Lakshmi, or is he worshipped as a devotee in the Buddha Varanasi?